Today's scripture is from Matthew chapter 14. Jesus walks on the water. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was alone, and the boat was already considerable distance from land, buffered by waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink, crying out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God."
Thank you, Dave, for that introduction. And yes, I really did walk on water. And yes, I really did sink. My buddy Mark added a little bit extra to that Matthew left out was, Jesus almost passed us by when he was walking on the water. If we wouldn't have screamed, I wonder what would have happened. Just out of curiosity. By the way, my name is Simon, or as most of you know me as Peter. Jesus is the one that changed my name. I first met Jesus when I was out cleaning nets on the shore. My brother Andrew introduced us, but Jesus already knew who I was. He told me all this stuff about me and who I and everything, and he said, "I'm going to call you Peter," meaning the rock. He said, "I'm going to make you a fisher of men." I didn't understand what was going on. I said, "Okay." He said, "Come follow me." Andrew and I looked at each other and said, "There's something about him. We got to follow. He's willing to rename me." We didn't know the wild ride that we were going to be on. But we seen Jesus heal people. We seen Jesus teach people. We seen nature obey his commands. One of the people that he healed was my mother-in-law. And he didn't even ask my permission. He just up and healed her. I ain't going to tell you what I thought of that. I mean, it was really cool, really awesome to see Jesus heal my mother-in-law, but I don't know if I wanted her healed. I didn't understand. But just like I didn't understand that, so many times when we were walking, we'd have all these people following us. They just wanted to be around Jesus. They had to be around Jesus. And the one time we were walking, and again, the crowd was there, no personal space, and Jesus said, "Someone touched me." I stopped him. I said, "Lord," I said, "man, in this whole crowd, how can you tell one person touched you? Like, everyone's bumping into you." He said, "Well, I felt the power leave me. Someone touched me." So we stopped and asked, who touched Jesus? Finally, this woman came up and she said, "I'm the one that touched him." She said, "I knew if I just touched his cloak that I would be healed." And just like that, Jesus said, "Because of your faith, you are healed." And she was. I didn't understand what was going on. I was just along for the ride. I was there when Jesus was teaching the people and it got late. And I'm sitting there and Jesus is teaching and I'm like, "Okay, Lord, like, you got to speed this up. I mean, these people got to go home. They got to get their kids ready for bed. You know, they got to feed the kids. They got to get up in the morning and go to work. And they got all this stuff to do. Like, let these people go. Like, you know, let's wrap this up." So it was getting late. And Jesus said, "Well, feed these people. Lord, we don't have nothing." He said, "Well, feed them." I said, "We don't have food. We don't have money. We don't have a Walmart. Like, what do you want us to do?" He said, "Well, go out and find something." So we found a boy with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. We took that up to Jesus and said, this is all we got. So he blessed it and gave thanks. We fed 5,000 people that night and still had to pick up leftovers. After we picked up all the leftovers is where we get into the story that Dave told this morning about Jesus and I walking on the water. Well, me sinking and Jesus saving me. Jesus questioned my faith. He challenged me a lot after I misspoke or after I asked questions that I thought were important. Like, how many times do we forgive? Or, Jesus, do you really have to die? Not only did I question him on things, but I also told him what I thought was best. Like the one time we were fishing, and we caught nothing all night long. And we're going back in the morning, and Jesus said, throw your nets in. And it's like, Jesus, I'm the fisherman here. You know, we don't catch fish this early in the morning. But if you tell us to, we'll do it. So we dropped our nets in, and the nets almost broke with how many fish that we caught. We had to yell for another ship. We almost sank both of them going in that night. I knew there was something about Jesus immediately then. And I said, Lord, you must depart from me, because I'm too much of a sinner for you to be around. Jesus said, don't be afraid. I will make you a fisher of men. Another time I thought I had it right was at the Passover meal. He told me he was going to wash me. And I said, he's going to wash my feet. And I said, Lord, I said, you're not going to wash my feet. Like, that's for the servants to do. He said, well, unless I wash your feet, you can't be with me. Well, then don't just wash my feet. Wash all of me. He said, you're already clean, but your feet are dirty. And he told me I wouldn't understand. And he was right. There was a couple times I thought I had it right, though. Like after a lot of Jesus' followers left him, he asked us, are the rest of us going to leave? I said, Lord, who else do we have to follow? You're the Holy One of God. Then again, after the Passover meal, Jesus said that he was going to be leaving us. I said, Lord, I said, I'll go with you anywhere you go. He said, you can't follow me. I said, Lord, I said, I'm willing to die for you. He said, but I tell you the truth, by the time the rooster crows, you're going to deny me 3 times. He was right. And I remember when our eyes met in that crowd, I remember the disappointment and the shame that I felt. My heart sank. I was so upset with myself because I had let Jesus down in the time that he had needed me the most. He was going to be crucified. I wasn't going to be able to patch things up like I normally did. I wasn't going to be able to make things right. This was going to be the last thing that he remembered before he died. My heart sank. And it sank even further when I remembered I asked him, what are we going to receive for following you? I didn't know what else to do, so I went fishing. The Sunday after they crucified Jesus, John and I were hanging out down on the shore, talking about everything that had happened. When Mary Magdalene came down and said that the tomb that Jesus had been buried in was empty, John and I ran as fast as we could to get up there, because we didn't believe her. John beat me, but don't tell no one. But I got to look at it, and it was empty. I was confused. I didn't know what else to do. I didn't understand what was going on. What happened? So again, I went back fishing. The one night I took the disciples out, we went out fishing. And we got skunked yet again. The second time, y'all read about me getting skunked. That's the only 2 times in my entire life that I got skunked fishing. I was a lot better fisherman than that. But anyway, we got skunked yet again, going home with empty nets, an empty heart. Everything was going wrong. But there was a man standing on the shore as we were coming in, and he yelled at us, drop your nets in again. Really? No fish all night? Okay, whatever. We'll see what this guy says, if this, what this guy says is true or not. So we dropped our nets in. We caught 150 big fish. Huge fish. John said, I think that's Jesus. I wasn't waiting to find out. So I jumped in and I swam to shore. And sure enough, it was there. It was Jesus. He was there. I gave him the biggest hug. And by then, the rest of the disciples had already come in. We brought the fish over and we sat down and we ate breakfast. Jesus looked at me and said, come on, Peter, we're going to go for a walk. When we were walking, Jesus asked me, Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. He asked me again, Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. He asked me a third time, Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know everything about everything. You know that I love you. And I meant it that time. He told me again that he was going to make me a fisher of men. And he told me to feed his people. That was the day that I finally understood who and what Jesus was about. He fulfilled prophecy. He didn't come to be king on earth, but he came to be king of our hearts. He didn't come to give us earthly things, but to give us eternal things. He came to die, only to be resurrected. A short time after our walk, I stood up in front of 3,000 people and preached the good news boldly and watched the Holy Spirit touch their lives and come to know Christ as their Lord and Savior. As the Holy Spirit moved, I watched people get healed. I watched people come to the saving knowledge of Jesus. Even the Gentiles came to know the Lord as Savior. I wrote 2 books to encourage believers in their faith and to remind them of how to live and what to watch out for before Jesus returns. I want you to know that many could say that my life could have been a failure. But every time I messed up, Jesus continued to love me. I kept pressing into that love and accepting the forgiveness. We have to be willing to yield our way for God's way. We can never repay Jesus for the cross, nor can we save ourselves. But we can, however, let him restore us through him as he created us. He loved us first. We have to allow him to love us and give him permission to lead our way and to mold us into who he called us to be. We have to see ourselves as God sees us and to know him and to make him known through prayer and scripture. We have to be willing to let Jesus rename us so we can walk on water and be fishers of men. We all have a role in God's kingdom. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for today, and Lord, I just thank you for Peter's testimony. Lord, I just thank you that you never give up on us. No matter where we're at, you never give up on us. You love us. You gave your son to die on the cross for our sins. Lord, we thank you for the Holy Spirit that comes and intercedes for us and mentors us. Lord, we just thank you so much for just your patience and how much you're willing to deal with and put up with us because you love us that much. Lord, we thank you for this congregation, the strength that they have in the prayer, and Lord, the fact that they know you. Lord, we just ask that you continue to show yourself and reveal yourself to us, and Lord, just continue the Holy Spirit's pouring out. Lord, thank you for all the people that are hearing this message. Lord, allow us to turn our lives to you. Allow us all to walk on water. Lord, we just ask this for your honor and your glory. In your son's holy name we pray. Amen. And today's benediction comes from 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be both the glory now and forever. Amen.